This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. 2023 was quite the year for new music. A bunch of stars released some of their best work yet. Boy Genius, Olivia Rodrigo, Mitski, just to name a few. And legends like The Rolling Stones, Dolly Parton, and Kool & the Gang, all out with new albums. So today we want to reflect on the best of 2023. We're going to do it with the typical Reset flair, with Chicago fam only. To the point where the mirror could even tell you lies. I was staring at my parents and wonder why my appearance was different. Used to wish I was white with fantasize. Kindergarten. Speaking of which, we're listening to Blue Eyes from Chicago rapper Vic Mensa. And joining me now is Greg Kot, co-host of Sound Opinions. Britt Julius, music critic for the Chicago Tribune. And finally, from our sister station Vocalo, Nudia Hernandez. If I could speak to a younger me, I would rewrite my history and tell me that you're beautiful because you're alive. Imagine me. So, I mean, these lyrics, Greg, why did Victor make your top five this year?
Well, he's always gone deep. His records are always autobiographical, it seems, you know, and this one is no exception. So I love the fact that he digs deep, but also, in addition to looking inward, he's always looking outward. You know, I remember a conversation I had with him years ago about growing up on 47th Street and how he was kind of straddling two worlds, you know, Hyde Park. And then he had crack deals going on across the street, you know, from him. It was, this kind of biracial kid, just negotiating all of that growing up in Chicago, very complex relationship with the city, with himself, and he's just digging deeper. He's maturing. I remember when he was a teenager in a group called Kids These Days, and it's just the maturity now is there. I think with each album, he just keeps growing as an artist, and he's unafraid. He's fearless. Genre-wise, you know, people say hip-hop, and, you know, he's not really doing hip-hop because he's all over the map. He was never like that. He was like, you know, I want to expand the notion of what people think of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Hip-hop is the history of black music, basically, right? And it's you can incorporate all of that into it. And he's doing that, exactly that, with this record.
So every year we see artists release all these amazing projects, right? But I'm curious to hear from all of you if there was anything special about 2023. I'm looking at you first, Britt.
What was special? I would say it felt like this was really, I mean, we had seen some of it in 2021 and 2022, but to me, this felt like the year where so many artists were coming out with projects that they had worked on throughout the pandemic. They had sort of been slaving away at them. They had been working in secret or working in private or just sort of, or collaborating if they got the chance to. And now was sort of finally the time when not only they could sort of release the music to the world, but they could also, just really get the opportunity to play it in front of audiences, right? Mm-hmm. Venues were completely opened up. Festivals were, you know, ever more expansive, whether they were sort of performing locally or they were traveling to do that as well. Many artists who, you know, I think of specifically like in the electronic music genre, they finally got to really travel throughout Europe and, you know, Latin America and just finally get other people to kind of hear these really beautiful projects that they had been working
on. It's like everybody got the chance to be back.
Yes.
This
like
year.
Really back.
Like really out of a pandemic.
Yes.
Back.
Yes. Yeah. Like out in the streets.
Yeah. What do you think, Nudia?
I think
speaking of backpack, you were outside this year.
Yeah,
so
yeah, a little bit. You know, I was outside, right? And Fourth Day Lollapalooza crying. It's a lot. It's a young person's game, being outside. But I think the biggest thing I've noticed in music this year is kind of the disco influences coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it even with Vic's album. He has a bonus track on there with Ty Dolla $ign called East Side Girl. Very disco influenced and very like you're hearing a lot of these artists bring back these nostalgia sounds, these samples from the 70s. And that's the biggest trend I kind of noticed this year. And I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, give me some bell bottoms and let's go.
Yeah. I love it. Britt, you've got Yard from Slow Pulp on your list. Now, for those who might not know this band, I want you to give us a breakdown. Who are they?
So they are originally from Wisconsin. They've been in Chicago for a little bit. They make indie rock music. To me, I always just describe it as sort of this is not an insult, but I call it like MKA music, which is like Mary Kate and Ashley music. So it sounds like music that I would hear.
That's
is
what
like
it means.
I have so many like MKA. Dumb terms like that. And so it's like music that sounds like it would be sort of like the soundtrack of like albums that were kind of, you know, coming out or movies that were coming out between when I was the ages of like 12 to like 15, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got these kind of like pop punk elements to them, just really kind of like bright, summery, even if like the lyrical content is kind of like heavy in some ways, sort of a dreamy yearning aspect that sort of reminds me of being like 13 or 14 again.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, so I've really enjoyed them. Hearing their story is really great too, and how a lot of these songs were sort of built and worked on, you know, during the pandemic with the lead singer sort of working with her father, who's a musician, and kind of getting the vocals and melodies and things like that working together as well. But yeah, it's just like a really sort of like fun kind of nostalgic album for me, even though it came out this year.
Well, let's listen to your favorite track off the album. This is Slugs. A mix. Okay, that guitar,
yeah,
first of all, and then these vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I love that. And this is their second album. They're already attracting this following.
Yes.
Right, as you've described.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do you think it is about their sound that's really setting them apart?
I think that they are really attracting, in particular, like a Gen Z audience, which seems to, at least like recently, has been turning to music, regardless of when it came out, that kind of has a sort of cinematic feel to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like the sort of music that could soundtrack your life. And so I think that is at least part of it. It
yeah.
just has this sort of like, oh, this is how what it feels like to me to be, you know, lovelorn, or to feel, you know, lost, or to not really know what to do in my life. And so a lot of their songs, both from their first album as well as from this new album, mm-hmm. Have really just sort of encapsulated that feeling really well. So
yeah. And Greg, I mean, what do you think? Big year for Slow Pulp, right? And as Britt mentioned, big tours headlining across North America and Europe. Have you been able to check them out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other element sonically, because I agree with the point about house and disco and dance club music sort of being revived in a lot of ways by some of these groups, is a shoegaze element in some of the guitar sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole Brit UK thing in the early 90s has sort of had a renaissance in the indie rock scene. And you're hearing a lot of bands incorporate that sort of dreamy vocal sound and those kind of thicker walls of guitar into their sonic ideas. So it's interesting to see some of these older sounds coming,
yeah.
being circulated again, especially by these young bands who weren't even born when a lot of these styles
right.
were super popular.
Yeah,
you know?
And the 2024 tour has been recently announced. Some big news, they're opening for the iconic indie bands Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service.
Oh,
wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I know. You heard it here first, right?
That's great.
All right, Nudia, let's turn to one of your picks. This song is called Everyone Moves to L.A. from the album Clusterfunk by Rick Wilson, Chromeo, and A-Trap. Yeah, yeah. We fell in love in the summer. So those who can't see Nudia right now don't see that she is literally singing every lyric to this track and dancing out of her seat.
Choreographed
moves right there. The song also features Brooklyn-based artist Felicia Douglas. So I'm curious, what do you think of all the collaboration?
Well, I saw this coming out of nowhere because it's Rick Wilson, and then he teamed up with A-Track and Chromeo. Which, of course, like, in Chromeo...
A-Track is Canadian, by the way. Shout out to Canada.
Shout out to Canada, but also, like, his brother is in Chromeo.
Uh-huh.
And so they really all... It's like this three people you didn't expect to make an album.
Love it.
And they just made something that was completely underhyped. Like, I just don't understand how this project didn't get more light. But I loved it because I caught up with Rick Wilson at backstage at Pitchfork, where he performed a lot. They're touring right now, you know, together, all three of them. And he said that they all kind of made each other step up. That he said even Chromeo, when they came in the studio to record in L.A., they would come in suits. So he started wearing suits to the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said it completely changed, you know, the way he feels about making music.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about influence.
Yeah. And so
inspiration.
You see, and he's kind of inspired some of that 70s style. Mm-hmm. The suit he had at Pitchfork was bell-bottomed. So it's really cool to see the whole thing. The sound is so great. I was addicted to that song. It's about how everyone wants to move to L.A. He meets this girl. She's doing nonprofit work in Chicago. And she tells him, I need to move. I need to make bigger moves. And he's like, it doesn't work out that way. You know, everyone wants to move there.
And this is your song of the year, I'm hearing.
This is in my... Top
that is huge.
Yeah, this is.
It's a big title.
Yeah, I was obsessed.
But I love what I just heard, so I think it lives up to it.
Yeah, you were dancing too. Along with me, Sasha was dancing.
I did not mention that. You're right. But you know who else agrees with us? Greg, because this same album and song made it to your list too, didn't it?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more on Rick Wilson. The thing about, you know, Beyonce and Drake got a lot of hype last year when they were sort of melding their traditional sounds with dance music, you know, incorporating Chicago house elements into their music. And I'm thinking, you know, Rick Wilson's been doing this from the very beginning. He was kind of cutting against the grain, combining hip hop with dance vibes, you know, right from the start. And everybody thought it was so radical. But, you know, when I would see him live, it was just amazing. People were dancing and just energizing the audience, you know. And Rick's thing would always be like, I'm going into the audience. I'm going to lead the dance line. I'm going to be right in the middle of it, you know. And so it's great. It reminded me like going to the warehouse and Frankie Knuckles is spinning or something like that. You know, yeah. It's the same kind of communal vibe. Everybody's out there. Everybody's having a good time. And at the same time, really, his lyrics are very astute. You know, I compared some of his earlier work. You know, I'm making comparisons to Curtis Mayfield, which may sound really outlandish, but I think in just his discourse, he brings a lot of political and social elements into it, but it keeps you dancing at the same time. It's not like you have to overuse your brain to enjoy the music. You know, you can get it on both levels. So really underrated artist. I don't understand why this guy isn't huge, because anybody who sees him perform goes, this guy's got everything. Mm-hmm. He's got it all.
Yeah, Nudia is nodding for sure. Well, we got Nudia's song of the year, so... If you had to pick Greg and Britt, what would be your song of the year? Greg, go first.
I loved Rat Boys with Cross That Line. I thought that was just an addictive song. Vic with Vic Mensa with Blue Eyes and Jamila Woods with Boomerang. Those are like way up there for me in terms of stuff that I've just constantly have on loop, you know, throughout the year.
And we'll get to all of those songs. Don't you worry. But Britt, pick one for me.
For a Chicago artist?
Song of the year. No pressure.
I put this on my list, but I really related to... Oh, gosh. Okay, this is hard, actually. Well, I really love Slugs, and I was glad we started off with that one. I probably listened to that one about 50 or 60 times this year, just kind of on repeat consistently. I really loved... I don't know if I can say this, but I chose put it on my list. Like Kara Jackson's "Head Blues" was very kind of just thought it was kind of perfect. Kind of like, you know, but that album in general is very profound to me.
Let's turn now to a Chicago transplant making hip hop with a heavy jazz influence. What's the breakdown of this bop we're hearing in the background right now?
This is from McKinley Dixon. He had an album that came out this year called Beloved Paradise Jazz. Those titles obviously come from Beloved, the Toni Morrison novel, Paradise and Jazz, also Toni Morrison novels. I really liked this album because, so that song actually was Run, 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 I should say. But I really like this album in general just because it incorporated, you know, elements of hip hop, of jazz, of funk. You know, when I had interviewed him about sort of the making of this record, one of the things he had talked about is that he was really inspired by what he described as a sort of magical realism of living in Chicago. From, you know, he's not originally from here.
He's a transplant.
Yeah, he's a transplant. Yeah. And he just felt this sort of like power and beauty and magic and surrealism from life in Chicago, from living in a sort of East Garfield Park neighborhood, working at the conservatory, and all of that sort of influenced the creation of this record.
Ah, so his rehoming, if you will, was an inspiration
absolutely
to this music.
Absolutely.
I love that. In your article for the Trib, you wrote about McKinley performing in the punk scene as a rapper with a live band. I'm very curious. Expand on that.
Yeah. So, you know, he, you know, started off in DIY communities, right? So it was always just about underground shows and always really about incorporating, you know, different genres into what he was doing. So something that he had, you know, talked a lot about to me was just the fact that not necessarily knowing where he fit in, but sort of, you know, continuing to do what he wanted to do anyway. And I think that's led to the success of this record in particular, right? So he's released music a lot in the past. Before he like lived here and kind of working up to this sound, which really, you know, had some of those kind of punk, weird, unique elements, but also had the hip hop with it as well.
Yeah. So. All right, Nudia, let's keep this going with hip hop. Here's a track off The Patience, Mick Jenkins' latest album. This is called Smoke Break Dance.
And I keep rolling up. And I keep rolling up. We blow it down, we blowing up. Hot air in me, we going up. Still is no feet going up. Fees going up. We pulling up, we throwing up. Gang signs. Trees going up in flames. Find us a forest fire. Every smoke break. We opened up, we space. But we gave our hang time. We trying to reclaim time. We finna rebuild. No Home Depot with us. People with us. That come from the FaceTime. Low key like the baseline. Got smoke and I keep rolling up.
So Mick Jenkins is definitely some Chicago royalty, if I could say so myself. I mean, just hearing that track, first of all, I thought I was going to go into some sort of blues at first, right? But that bass line, I mean, how often are you spinning this track on Vocalo?
It's heavy rotation. Yeah, it's so funny. You guys do your research. Someone did research. But yeah, heavy rotation on Vocalo, this track in particular. And again, he comes with the bars. You expect the blues, but you get the bars from him. And this album didn't disappoint at all. Of course, like Mick Jenkins does have a lot of work he has to like live up to. And hearing this, you're like, yes, he delivered again.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I'm going to look at you next, Greg. And talking about the rock group Rat Boys, which you mentioned earlier, because they put out their fifth studio album this year, right?
Right, right.
I am just hearing about them, though. So what can you tell me about this new album, The Window?
Yeah, they've been around since 2015 or so. I mean, they've been releasing albums. I think they were a group even before then. It really just started out with as Julia Steiner and David Sagan, the guitar player. But Julia's kind of the brains of the band in terms of the songwriting, lyrics, vocals. David's an amazing guitar player. Then they added a rhythm section in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a fuller band sound on this record. I think all of their previous records had great songs on them, but this one is, like, to my mind, the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
And part of it is that they worked with a producer, Chris Walla, who used to be in Death Cab for Cutie, brilliant musician and sound engineer, and just really built up their sound. It's really a powerful rock record. They had country elements as well in their music in the past, and some of those still exist here. But I just love the power of this record. And Julia's just turned into such an amazing songwriter. I think Pound for Pound, this is one of the best records of the year. And the songs all deal with this idea of the concept of the window. And we're talking about, you know, we were talking earlier about the post-pandemic kind of everybody sort of coming out into the world. And one of the songs in this record deals with the idea of being separated by a window as you know, a close family member was dying, you know, in a nursing home, right? And they couldn't really visit them while this was happening. You know, it was just kind of a sad conclusion to a life, being separated from people. And now we're sort of out in the world and processing what it means. So it's got a lot of personal stuff in it, but at the same time, it rocks really hard.
It's, yeah.
Just a hard rocking record, you know?
Absolutely. And I promised you that we would get back to your song of the year. So why don't we hear Cross That Line? Greg, so this is another one that has us dancing in the studio. Are you dancing too?
Absolutely. I'm doing a Rockettes thing right now, so I don't know. It's you know,
a Rockettes thing. I would love to be able to see that right now.
Mid-afternoon, yeah.
How much would I
get
pay?
My workout in?
We got some overlap too. Friend of the show, Sen Morimoto's latest album, Diagnosis, made it to your top five lists. Nudia and Brit. Let's dig into it.
Keep pressure on the balls.
So I talked to Sen before the album was released to sort of get a preview. And in the past, he's discussed writing music like writing in a journal, right? Lots of looking inward. But in this album, he kind of does the opposite of that. And he's kind of flipping the mirror on society and on the world.
I had spent, you know, a couple albums figuring out basically like everything that was wrong with myself, trying to like really figure out why I was this way, what was causing all this anxiety. And when I started sitting down to write new songs, I realized that what was really eating at me was not really like my personality or my own difficulties with my mind, but just these larger patterns and functions of the systems that we live in. So naturally, that's just sort of where the songs ended up going.
Did that come through for you too?
I can definitely hear that. I think about his first single from the album, you know, If the Answer Isn't Love, like, which feels very, you know, to me, I'm reminded of like Prince, right?
Yeah.
Love is the master plan, right? So it seems very much sort of a prescribing what's needed in the world on a larger scale. I can definitely say that. And then the album, you know, as a whole is called Diagnosis, right? So it's talking about,
shining that flashlight
absolutely.
On all the things that are messed up.
Social and cultural ills, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, like, the biggest thing, I think if any new artists or Chicago artists are looking to do something unique and great, is that when Sen previewed this album, like the first time I heard it, he had an album release party at a drive-in movie theater. Did he talk to you about this?
Yes.
So literally, you know, people are pulling up in their cars and you're watching the music videos on the drive-in TV and listening to it through the drive-in speaker. And I just thought it was such a great experience to listen to it in that way. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, artists don't put that much time into the way that they present an album to you. And I thought it was such a great way to go into this album. I'm kind of a new fan of Sen, very, very new. Hadn't really heard him. Saw him at Pitchfork, you know, and I had no clue he was kind of like capable of all this.
Yeah. Nudia, let's talk about the album that made it to your number one. That's Water Made Us by Jamila Woods. This one's Boomerang.
Chicago.
You guys played Boundaries, which is another one of her songs, a lot.
Yeah, that was a single. I thought it was going to be included on this album, and it wasn't. But it's
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah, it's a very different sound, though. I was expecting the Boundaries was very low and calm, and then she gave us this album that had a lot of tempo, a lot of different rhythms of tempo. Yeah. The thing that I love about Jamila, Chance always praises her when he comes through the building, and, you know, he says that this is one of his favorite people to work with. But what I love about her is that no matter what album she works on, she will always put Chicago artists on. She has a collab with Peter Cottontail on there, and then also a song with Saba. So I love to see that it's like, no matter how big Jamila gets, she always puts Chicago artists in the mix.
That is appreciated for sure. Greg, this also, this album was also on your top five, right?
The top album for me from out of Chicago this year. She's been on a tremendous roll, and it was a surprise for me too, this record, because the first two had sort of been very outward looking. You know, I was joking with her. I talked to her a few months ago, and she, you know, said, you know, you're so socially oriented in your lyrics, you know, looking out at the world, and all of a sudden you're writing about these very intimate relationships or a relationship, and it's. I said the turn inward really threw me for a loop at first, but then I realized you're still got the same, there's still a universal quality to it. Like, there were some really important just observations about how relationships evolve that were really helpful to me, you know, just in my own relationships, you know?
I love when that happens.
Yeah, and just the whole idea of forgiveness and not expecting or wanting more from your partner than they can give at that moment, and just sort of enjoying the moment that you're in with that person, and also the self-knowledge that comes from that sort of understanding. So it was a really just a surprisingly great record in that regard, that she had done completely shifted gears like this and knocked it out of the park once again. And as Nudia was saying, just the eclecticism of the music is just one of her strengths.
Yeah. And a lot of Chicago artists featured on the album.
Yeah. I mean, she's a multitasker in life. She's an activist, a teacher, a poet. It's not surprising that she's all over the map musically, but still integrating it to an album that really plays beginning and end like a song cycle. Like, each song complements the other one. So it's meant to be listened to as an entire project rather than just one song at a time.
Here's one of Nudia's top picks, Hold Me Down by No Name, on their latest album, Sundial.
I hope you understand, everybody scams, a little Peter Pan paranoia, polygram tell the truth.
Now, this album's on a lot of people's best of year lists. It was featured on Pitchfork's 2023 list and on the New York Times. It's also exciting because it's been years since No Name released an album.
What if the loved one really don't love love, diminish the one love we trust, that's us. Anyway, we get it, we go get it for now. You was with it when benefits was added to the account. I could count on you for a favor for a certain amount. Hold me down, hold me down, hold me down, hold me down. Anyway, we get it, we go get it for now. You was with it when benefits was added to the account. I could count on you for a favor for a certain.
Random, I ran into No Name's mom at a Reset event this past summer.
Really?
And she introduced herself like, I'm No Name's mom. And I was like, oh, wow. That was so cool.
It's been great to see her rollout too, because, you know, again, I've I've heard she's always in constant rotation on Vocalo. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know, like, she hadn't released music in a minute. But when she does, she kind of does a very big rollout. She had this huge community event to release this album, and she brought out Common, and then, wow, you know, and then she showed up, she made guest appearances at Chance's, you know, concert for Acid Rap, and then she did her Tiny Desk.
Yes.
And I mean,
that Tiny Desk was awesome.
When she comes outside, she comes outside. It's like me.
And she does that flip between yeah, music to activism, which is also, yes, very cool, right?
Yeah, and you hear, and I really love, I'm really excited too, you know, like in her Tiny Desk, she brought out Ghetto Sage, Sabin Sabino, and you just see, like, again, you're hearing such eclectic tempos from her, and mm-hmm, I'm so excited to see what else is going to come.
Greg, are you noticing musicians trying out new things, right? We talked about, you know, No Name doing that flip, doing the activism thing, doing the music thing. Has anyone surprised you this year sort of wearing multiple hats?
You know, not really, because Chicago's always been that way. You know, the whole idea, for example, we talk about activism. I mean, that was integral to the civil rights movement in the 60s. When you talk about artists like Curtis Mayfield or the Staple Singers, you know, they were very involved in their communities all along. The music was part and parcel with who they were as artists as well, you know, as human beings. And that just, you know, when I talk to people like Chance, they're aware of that tradition, you know, through their parents' records, let's say, you know,
yeah,
and it just carries over. I mean, it's almost like a badge of honor that you're from Chicago, it's almost expected that you do that. You're not just furthering yourself and your career, but furthering the community and, you know, just the whole idea of it's bigger than you, you
yeah,
know, it's and that's a beautiful thing.
Britt, you're nodding. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something I hadn't actually thought of before, but it makes perfect sense. I think when you choose to stay here as a musician or an artist, you choose to stay here for a specific reason, right? And part of that is to continue being rooted within your community or the communities that you really care about. Oftentimes, you know, a place like LA or New York, you're a transplant. And so it can be a little bit more difficult to,
right,
you know, find that grounding, that rooting in those sort of communities. But if you're from here, you know, you're probably wanting to make change here. And, you know, when you find some sort of success outside of the city on a national scale, on an international scale, you can have the means to bring about that change to your community as well. So I think, yeah, it makes perfect sense. There's always, oftentimes with a lot of artists, there's this, as we said, like it's musician, but also poet, but also activist, also teacher, and all of those things work together perfectly, and mm-hmm, it doesn't seem strange at all.
While we have you in the hot seat, Tomorrow's Fire by Squirrel Flower, that is up there for you.
Yes.
Here's a track off the album. It's called Full Time Job.
Doing my best is a full time.
Okay, did I hear that right? Doing my best is a full-time job, but it doesn't pay the rent.
Yes.
Oh, what a line.
I love it.
Snaps from Nudia in the studio.
Snaps.
The title of the album, Tomorrow's Fire, comes from a novel written by Squirrel Flower singer Ella Williams' great-grandfather. He named the novel after a line in a French poem, which goes, "Tomorrow's hopes provide my dinner. Tomorrow's fire must warm tonight."
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the poetry in motion here.
I love this album. I love the lyricism of you know, Ella's writing. Just specifically, it's a lot of talk about sort of what it's like to observe and live in and be in this world currently, what it means to be an artist, right? To want to make great art, do great things, contribute to the world, but be sort of brought down by the forces of capitalism, by, you know, a planet that's dying by, you know, all of these sort of things, and how do you sort of continue to strive and do those things while living in a world that is constantly trying to put you down and makes it really difficult to survive to the next day.
Yeah, I want to know how you felt listening to the album, right? Because Ella is able to create this very loud rock sound while still being, as I said, poetic and folky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt really, anytime I listen to the record, it always feels like Ella is saying exactly what I wanted to articulate in my writing, but maybe haven't had the means to do so as well. And thinking about sort of the sacrifices you have to make to survive in the world, thinking about, you know, what it's like to sort of see constant chaos on a daily basis, but still have to kind of move on or keep going and things like that. So it just felt really, really relevant.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah, you know,
constant chaos.
A lot of
but
our
I
lives.
Keep moving.
Yeah, like how do we keep doing that? I think a lot of people can sort of relate to that.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we will listen to a song that's called "Paradigm" off Jalen's 2023 album "Perspective." Okay, so this feels different. Greg, you've switched up the vibe on us.
Yeah, that's Jalen, Geraldine Patton. You know, she's actually from Gary, Indiana, not Chicago technically, but adjacent to Chicago, and hugely influenced by Chicago house music, and specifically Chicago footwork, which came out of outgrowths of house. So people like R.P. Boo and DJ Rashad, we're doing this. I remember the first time I saw Rashad and Boo perform, you know, as DJs, they were obviously surrounded by a retinue of footwork dancers. And it just blew my mind seeing that stuff being done live. Basically, that's what the music is. It's this hyperactive brand of house.
Yeah.
And it's basically about these competitions that these dancers would have, which were just furious dance displays. But Geraldine Patton, Jalen, has taken it to a whole other level of intricacy and depth. Her production work is groundbreaking.
Wow.
Truly the stuff that 20 years from now, people are going to be talking about is a major shift in club music, dance music, how the evolution of house. She's a genius. This isn't the first great work she's done. There's been others. But what I think is really kind of evolving is that she's starting to become less dependent on samples and working with live instruments. In this case, she worked with the Third Coast Percussion Ensemble and basically incorporated their percussion orchestra into this work that she was creating. So using that as a bed for these very intricate, polyrhythmic journeys that she's creating. You know, the thing that works for me, it's not just about the dancing, but it works between the headphones. You can put this on in a dark room and slap on a set of headphones, and you are just taken on a trip.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
very psychedelic, you know?
We're so doing that right now. We're mimicking it right now. All our eyes are closed in the studio.
Her work definitely needs to be checked out by anybody who's interested in this kind of music. And like I said, I think she's truly one of the pioneers in the area that is just making stuff that's going to be recognizes groundbreaking years from now.
Good stuff. And it has me thinking, are there any new genres of music that y'all are starting to dip your toes into maybe just recently this year?
Like locally?
Yeah.
Or
just in general.
I don't know if it's like new, but I do feel like there is a lot of stuff that's sort of emerging from the sort of improvisational and like jazz communities here in Chicago. Obviously, I chose a lot of albums that kind of have touches of jazz in them as well. But I feel like a lot of those artists have been working and collabing together, and you see sort of elements of their sounds across different genres. So someone like a Sen Morimoto, right, who his partner Kaina, you know, just, you know, they're all of them are kind of connected in different ways. But, you know, you're seeing artists who make who've typically made like classical music, like Leah Cole, making new albums that kind of incorporate more of these elements of improvisational sounds.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's like an official name outside of like improvisational, but
that works.
Yeah,
that
but works. It's different.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been expanding my Afrobeat palette just a bit this year.
I was just going to say,
well, I've just been getting more into like the Amapiano stuff, like from South Africa specifically.
The Amapiano.
Like, so good.
Yeah.
So good. I think it might be a testament to some guests that we had earlier this year on Reset, but I just became an Amapiano fool after that.
There's
sure.
a lot of Amapiano parties in Chicago too.
Yes. The thing, are there?
Yes, there's... Yes,
we can. Can you invite me?
We can go.
Stop leaving me out. I'm tired of seeing your pictures on social media. I'm like, oh, she looks like she's having fun.
Yeah, no.
Me.
The thing that I love about Amapiano is that these are sounds like Amapiano and Dembo from the Latin genre. These are sounds that have been taken and used mainstream, but not given the credit. But now we're seeing the credit being given to Afrobeats, being given to Dembo. And so I'm excited for those genres to actually get the credit that they deserve.
So great minds think alike.
Yes.
Okay, Britt, I was excited to see Kara Jackson on your short list, you know, earlier this year.
Yeah.
Here's another plug for a previous Reset guest. We had her on. She performed in our studio and was talking about her latest work called Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? And so she did a few songs for us right here in our studio. And before we talk about this album, I want to listen to her play No Fun Party.
It's hard to have patience when you're waiting on luck, like a postal truck, like a postal truck, to bring you a love as tough as elephant.
Kara's album also made Pitchfork's top 50 this year, a huge honor, clearly well deserved. Her voice, really unique. I remember we were saying, oh my gosh, she's giving us like Tracy Chapman vibes and, you know, all kinds of accolades. You can really just tell she's a true poet from lyrics like this. She says, you know, I think I'm taken for granted. Every person that I've dated tells me I'm intimidating, like a snake that's busy praying. Do I have to ask, but why did this album make your list, Britt?
Well, I guess like a number of reasons, right? I actually wrote about Kara for Pitchfork. I did a feature profile on her. I had wondered, I was like, why do they like, you know, I was like, I can see why they paired us up, right? Mm-hmm. Like Black and from the Chicago area. But Kara is actually from Oak Park, which is where my parents live, where I went to school. And, you know, this album is about grief. And you know, when I first interviewed Kara, when I first heard the album, it was about like a month or so after my grandmother had died, you know, and it just really hit me in a way that I was actually kind of stunned, right? Mm. So the album wasn't out yet, but I was listening to it before our interview, and I just remember kind of walking around my apartment and had to sit down because she was saying all the things that I had felt but were not, you know, I wasn't getting from other people or wasn't being, you know, I couldn't connect with my friends in that way. They weren't saying the things
powerful.
I needed. Yeah, and so, you know, because she wrote about grief of losing her, you know, best friend from high school who had died of a form of cancer and what that experience was like and just the isolation of it, of people not sort of living up to the expectations that you want from them in those moments mm-hmm. of crises, but also sort of just, you know, the experiences, you know, of grief of being in the modern world, right? But also knowing that, you know, grief is a manifestation of love, right? And so that, you know, to have it is to know that you love the person and that they were really important and vital in your life. And so I think with those elements of how she sings, the, you know, the way in which her music is made, you know, she collaborates a lot with like Kaina and Sen Morimoto, who we talked about, you know, it really just sort of... it hits you really deep.
I'm so glad you had that music to turn to in that time,
absolutely.
For sure. I wonder if you have any honorable mentions, folks. Was there anything, any Chicago album that was just inches away from your top five? Greg, what are you thinking?
Well, the No Name record had been mentioned earlier. I think all of her work is great, and this record was no exception. You know, I wanted to mention with No Name, the thing that I saw most in her evolution is the way she presents her music live. And that Tiny Desk show was just a great example of that.
Incredible.
You know, just like blown away by how great that was. Anybody who sees that and doesn't think, you know, she's the greatest.
Doesn't have a pulse, Greg.
Actually, I think she actually played a new song too, like a song that hadn't been recorded yet, or may have been recorded but hadn't been released. And it was just great. And I go, man, she has just evolved so much, you know, as a live act.
Yeah. What about you, Nudia? Anything that was so close?
The thing that was so close is that it barely got released 2022. And that was Mino's Love for Rent album. I checked it because I wanted to put on so many lists. And I was like, oh, it just got released late last year. And I've been bumping that album. I actually, you know, went to a festival just to see him perform.
Wow.
Just because I was such a big fan of the album. His Chicago show was really hard to get into. My coworker Biko, they wouldn't even let him have a plus one, so he went without me,
which
I always remind him of. But Sabino's Love for Rent, yeah, if you need something to listen to, that was an amazing album.
Yeah, no, when my producer asked me, oh, what are your favorite Chicago albums from this year? I kept throwing things at her that were from last year.
Yeah, it was very easy.
Nothing was 2023, and I was like, Raven Lanae, Hypnos? Oh, wait, that was 2022. Yeah. Anything come to mind for you, Britt?
The Jamila album, for sure, is also on my list, as well as the Rat Boys album. There is an EP by an emerging musician named Kiela Adira. I really like her music a lot. And she had a song on the album called Respite, which really reminded me kind of like of early Jasmine Sullivan, specifically the first album from Jasmine Sullivan. So it's just an EP, only a couple tracks, but I love it. Just really interesting, experimental kind of R&B. I would highly recommend that record. And there's an album. There's another album I was going to say, but I actually just checked and it came out like December 2022. So I'm just going to.
So you had like a top seven when we called you.
Oh, yeah. No, it was hard.
You tried to cheat, but
yeah,
we wouldn't let you.
I know.
Well, we'll leave it there. Our thanks to Greg Cott, who's co-host of Sound Opinions, Nudia Hernandez, afternoon host for our sister station Vocalo, and Britt Julius, music critic for the Chicago Tribune. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin and Ethan Schwab, and edited by Linnea Dominic. For more conversations about the Chicago area, like and subscribe to this podcast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk soon.